everybody, and welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 7, Episode 33, and today I've got Jeff Leboff, I've got Stephanie Swain.
How do?
And we've got no Tim Andrews. He is on vacation this week, so...
He's having one crazy summer.
Yeah, he's heading up to that area, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly that area.
He's like at Cape Cod. So I picture him like Tom Hanksing it, you know, in a boat looking for a mermaid.
A little rowboat.
But with a baby, but with like a baby Bjorn on the front of him.
Yeah, just before he left, I go, "You got enough money?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "Well, can I have some then?"
"You got enough money?"
"Yeah, I got plenty."
"Can I have some then?"
Nice. Well, we do have a guest this week, Alan Stair from the WKRP cast, who we've had on the show before. He's going to join us and talk about their upcoming series finale with the WKRP cast. They've gotten to the end of the series, and we'll see what, you know, how that series went and what's in store for them next. So how was the 80s concert this past weekend, Steph?
Oh, man. Yeah, it was the dude. Tim interviewed him on his show on the Popcast. It was Electric Avenue is the name of the group, and they were amazing. It was really good. Yeah, it was really good. We were en route, and Neil had been feeling really bad all day. He was sneezing his head off, and he had his head like laying against the window and shit when we were on our way down there. I was like, "I'm gonna take you home, because I can tell that you feel bad, and you know, he just was not gonna be ret for this."
Right.
So he's like, "No, we don't go by yourself." And I'm like, "I used to go do stand up by myself all the time. I actually prefer my company to anyone's. I think you guys know that."
Yes.
So I dropped him off, and then I went to the Elmere. That's right next door to the Variety. Oh my God. How is a quesadilla this good? They are so good. If you have not eaten at the Elmere, it's amazing. And you know, I've got my whole little crew of just people come in, they sit at the bar beside you and talk, and you know, they play cool punk music and shit in there.
Did you get your Moscow Mule?
I had two Moscow Mules. I had two, and a margarita and a beer. And so, like, I had been talking to some cool people, hip people, and then this whole crew rolled in that was, like, older than me, like, mid-50s. I'm sure they were from, no offense, probably Loganville. I'm not really sure. Both the chicks had the John Kate plus 8 haircut. You know, it was like a rooster.
Nice.
And they sit down and they go, "I ain't never been in no Mexican restaurant that didn't play Mexican music." I was like, "Get away from me. Get away from me. I don't want anybody to know I'm with you."
Out, out, out.
But then I went over to the show, and it was so good. You know, and the whole crowd was great. I hung out with this one couple, then I hung out with this whole other crew. They were big friends with Big Mike Geyer. They go to all his crap and stuff. They played, you know, the Beverly Hills Cop theme song. They played Danger Zone. They played some ballads that were really good. Oh, man.
Anybody break out into slow dancing with her?
Like there were people dancing everywhere. They were dancing everywhere. And in fact, whenever they started playing Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing, there were chicks like in the aisle doing the cha-cha and shit. Like he was there, like they were baby and he was there and was about to swing them around. I mean, people were really into it. It was a fun, fun time. I highly recommend they come back, if they're going to do anything again, he commits. The lead singer, they were doing Maniac. He stripped down to a black tank top and black underwear and was up there doing the Maniac dance and singing at the same time.
Nice.
But the keyboardist, he was the ultimate, because he had the wind machine going and the lights were all on him, and he was just up there. And, you know, that with the whole video screen behind him, it was a lot of fun. Highly recommend.
Nice.
Were there a lot of people there?
It was packed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was packed out. And I mean, I was for sure I was going to get monkeypox. I knew I was going to get it because it was so, there was a lot of spits and droplets just flying everywhere. People were so into it. I mean, they were wild. It was, you know, a lot of middle-aged people that were transported back to their childhood, and they were all drunk. And it was just like...
Get you ready for Dragon Con.
Yeah.
That's a genius marketing move. Yeah, you just bring people back to their childhood
Everybody was singing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and all of the songs. I mean, and then he had a couple of female backup singers who were amazing in their own right. The one she did, We Don't Need Another Hero, and really did. I mean, she wasn't Tina, but she was pretty close. And then the other one she did, Get Into the Groove by Madonna. Oh, there was chicks in there. They were losing their freaking minds. When she started saying Get Into the Groove, oh man. I'm like, where's Rosanna Arquette? Who has the earrings?
Well, it sounds like a fun time.
It was really
fun.
The
dude sounded fun when Tim interviewed him on his radio show. It made me want to go to the show.
He's a hell of a showman, and he knows how to engage the crowd and get everybody going. But really, I mean, this was a audience that was coming to have a good time. Very friendly, broad demographic. And it wasn't just, I would say, people our age. There was a lot of people there. I was surprised that were in their 20s that were into this kind of stuff. So it was, you know, maybe they went for irony's sake. I don't know.
Millennials love the retro stuff, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there in probably their mid-30s. Lots of those were there. But mostly it was, you know, our age or even older. There was some that were older or whatever. But yeah, I knew because the one lady, they don't play Mexican music in this Mexican restaurant. She said, what are you drinking? I'm going to have what you drinking. And I said, you're going next door, aren't you? Because there's no other freaking reason for you people to be down here. It's just none. It's not like I'm the coolest cat on the block, but I blend. And they did not blend at all. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It made me think back to my late 30s when I was rolling around Atlanta till all hours of the night. And how much fun I used to have doing that kind of stuff. But I did park right next door. And I did have my head on the swivel when I came out, so I didn't get clunked in the head and drug around back.
Yeah, that's a good that parking lot at Variety has always been like they should shoot a horror film there. It's just so
it's a little sketch.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's a little sketch. Yeah. But you know, I was real quick. I was real quick in and out. That's what I do like about the Variety is like there's the parking lot, here's your food, here's Variety. Bam, bam, bam.
Right.
Yeah. So. Nice. Well, I went up to Tennessee to my grandmother's funeral. We had that this week. And
sorry, Justin.
Oh, thanks, guys. It was she'd been sick for a while, and so it was as much of a heartache as it was. It was also a relief, for her not to suffer anymore. So, you know, that all happened, and that was good. I got to see the family and everything again. And we did, you know, that aside, you know, it is what it is. A funeral is, you know, like my wife said, she goes, how was everything? And I was like, it was depressing. And before I thought, I was like, yeah, I guess it was a funeral. But, I don't know. It was kind of a lot of things, you know, seeing all these people you grew up with and look up to, and now you're looking down at them because you're taller than them because they're getting so old. They're starting to, you know, hunker over and you're like, man, you know, like, man, you know, this is, I don't know. It was kind of a reality slap, you know, as far as everything's kind of that era is kind of waning, you know, in my life. So that was interesting. But we did on the way, up stop at, Benton, Tennessee. And, have you guys ever heard of Benton bacon?
Mm-mm.
It's like, if you go through like, high-end chefs and you ask them where they, you know, their best bacon, where they get it, they all get it from the same place in Benton, Tennessee. It's been there since like the 30s. And they usually just distribute it all over the world and you can get it online. But if you go by the place, you can like walk in the side door to the little counter and get where the locals get. And so we went in and we got some, smelled amazing. And now our car will never not smell like smoke from the bacon. But we stopped there and we also stopped at Bucky's. I finally got to experience Bucky's. And that place is a madhouse, no matter time, day or night.
Yeah, it was like 10 o'clock at night. I can't believe there was that many people there.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I mean, I thought it was a mall. When we pulled up, it looked like a mall. The lights were just, you know, there's 128 gas pumps. So, wow. I mean, the gas pumps take up the area of like a Walmart parking lot itself.
Right.
And then the building for a gas station is like the size of a BJ's or a Sam's. Yeah. I mean, it's just nuts. So got to go through there and find some stuff. Got me some Bucky Bites. Beaver Nuggets. And which, you know, glorified pops, like corn pops.
Yeah, corn pops.
But that was good. And it was neat to finally see the place after missing it, you know, last fall when we went to KuzCon.
Did you take a shower in the trucker shower?
No, but I hung out there for a little while. Yeah.
You just hung out in the trucker shower?
People. Yeah, met some great people.
I don't think they have trucker showers. I think they're anti-truckers.
Go ahead.
None of the gas pumps are allowed for trucks.
Right. Yeah, there's a Love's across the street, or across the highway, and that's like where all the truckers go. So like everybody else comes to this place. And, you know, they've got the people in there that are cutting meat, you know, at stations, kind of like a high-end food court. And they got a wall of jerky that's like 25 feet high and 30 feet long, you know, candies and trinkets and stuff. I mean, it's a genius marketing, like travel marketing move. It's like every place you ever stopped at on family trips all put into one building.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty neat. But yeah, that was definitely probably a high point of the trip. All right, we have Alan Stair from the WKRP cast. He's going to join us to talk about their upcoming series finale in September. So let's get Alan on. So how are you doing, Alan? We hadn't talked to you in a while.
Oh, doing fantastic. Unbelievably, September 1st, we are coming up on 2 years since we launched the WKRP cast. And September 20th, we are sadly doing our final episode of WKRP. We are going to have a couple more shows after that one because we've got some really cool interviews that we're kind of wrapping up the series with. But our final episode of the series, our final review show, is going to drop on the actual 40th anniversary of the last first run airing of WKRP.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Was this the episode that people weren't sure when the final date was?
Yeah, this is the one that we kind of broke the news back. Okay, everyone has believed for 40 years now that the last three episodes of WKRP aired in April of 1982, on the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st. Well, on the 7th was supposed to be the episode Impossible Dream, where Les dresses up as his mother in drag. Then on the 14th was supposed to be To Air as Human, which is the one where Herb accidentally gets his picture on a stand-up for black hair care products. And then on the 21st was Up and Down the Dial, which is the episode where we find out that WKRP is now number 6 in the market, and it's very obviously the season ender. Well, we've got a guy that contributes to our podcast. He's been a friend of the podcast since about our 4th episode and has been a fantastic resource. His name is Michael Hernandez. And one of the things Michael created early on that we found was this spreadsheet that has every song ever on WKRP, whether it was in the original show, if it was replaced in syndication, and if it made it back on the Shout Factory DVD. So we found this in the summer before we started our show, and it became one of these valuable pieces of research for us. Well, about our fourth episode in, there was a comment on our Facebook page from this guy named Michael Hernandez. And I recognized the name from this listing, which was one of our, you know, Q documents for information that we just use this thing all the time. And I sent him a note. I said, would you be the guy who, and he's like, yeah, yeah, that was me. So since then, he has been this great resource for us for information. He's great at tracking down posters. I told my wife, if I ever go missing, call Mike. He's the guy that will find me. He'll track me down. Mm-hmm. But we dubbed him the Accountant of Rock because he makes these spreadsheets. Well, one of his other projects is making a spreadsheet showing everything else that aired around WKRP on the first run night for each episode. So he would go through and find, you know, when, whatever the date was. He's using newspapers.com as a resource and going in and pulling up these daily grids that you used to find in the newspaper that would show you everything that'll be on TV that night. Well, he has discovered over the course of his research that on April 7th and April 14th, those episodes that we've always believed aired, that are in all the lists, it was on IMDb from the moment IMDb, you know, went up as a website, that listing has always been wrong. And it's wrong on the Shout Factory DVDs because they were working off of these dates that they were given by Mary Tyler Moore Productions, which show what would have been probably the original run. You know, if they'd have had their way and run it the way everybody planned early on in the season, this is how the season would have ended. But the show was tanking. It was really, really doing poorly in the ratings. And we feel like with the study that we've done on it and the research we've done into it, it really looks like CBS panicked. And they were trying to come up with something to save Wednesday nights. Nobody was tuning in on Wednesday nights. So like on the 7th, instead of WKRP, they threw in a movie that had run the previous fall, The Coward of the County. It was based on the Kenny Rogers song. Well, it had been number 2 in the country the previous fall. It winds up being number 59 for the week out of like 68 episodes or something, or 68 different shows that ran. So they just had trouble on Wednesday nights, and it was WKRP was part of it, but they couldn't figure it out. So they dropped these WKRP episodes out, didn't run them. Then on April 21st, they ran this last one that would have actually been the season capper, and it's the Up and Down the Dial. So that's the one that runs on the 21st. Well, last April, everybody's going, oh, it's the anniversary of the 40th anniversary of the last first run episode. And there were all these articles in the paper. And Hernandez sent us this note. He said, you know, that's not right. And we got to looking at his grids and his information. And it's like, no, it's not. Those two didn't air, the 7th and the 14th. They got dropped out in August. And then in September of 1982 is when the actual last first run episode of WKRP hit the air, because WKRP became a hit over the summer. It went from this tanking, desperately bombing show to suddenly in the top 10 starting in June of 1982 in reruns. Well, it had been canceled May 7th. It was gone from CBS's schedule, and it was just filling out in the summer. They just always, you know, do the reruns in the summer because nobody ever watches TV in the summer. And suddenly people were finding it, and WKRP was becoming this top 10 hit week in, week out. It's starting to, you know, be number 7 for the week, number 4 for the week. So on August 7th, some brainiac at CBS said, hey guys, we've still got two of these WKRPs nobody's ever seen. You want to run one of them? They did. And it came in like number 9, I think, that week in August. So then by September, they're still running the reruns. They're still having huge hits with them. September 20th, they run this Impossible Dream, which is really one of the lesser episodes of WKRP. It's not a big fan favorite. It's the one where Richard Sanders dresses up to portray Les's mom. So it's Richard Sanders in drag. And this one airs on September 20th. It beats Monday Night Football that week. It is so highly rated. And by this time, WKRP is gone to the wind. All of the cast members have other commitments. There's no way they're going to bring it back and put it back on the air. So that's when it started this then unbelievable 20-year run of highly rated syndication.
This would have been one of those shows, had Netflix been around, that you would have discovered on Netflix and binged like crazy. Yeah. Like, how did I not know about this show?
It could have been The Office if it hadn't happened, you know, 20 years earlier. It was, you know, it just happened too early. We've also, watching it in, you know, the format we've been watching it, we're watching the network episodes, how they would have aired on network. So they're all 25 minutes long. They are stuck into this three-act structure so that you can hit the commercial breaks. And what we've thought is, wow, how much more fun could they have had if they hadn't had that structure of a sitcom? If they could have done a 40-minute or a 50-minute episode to really cover the topic. Because we've had this sense, especially with some of these fourth season episodes that we've looked at, they left a lot out. It just felt like there was more there. They had more story to tell. There was more that they wanted to do with it. But because of the constraints of that half-hour sitcom, they had to chop it down.
So now that you guys are wrapping, you know, this up, and I know you're going to have some episodes afterwards, are you looking now towards something to do next, or are you going to just take some time for yourself? What are you planning
to do? Well, it depends on who you talk to. actually, I have had a blast doing this. This has been so much fun. I don't know that my wife has had quite the blast I've had. She's had fun with it, and it's been a fun project for us to do together. I want to keep making more podcasts. So we've kind of talked about what we might do, and we're talking about taking some time off. But one of the things that really has caught my attention, and I remember being a big fan of, is Night Court. I don't think I was a big fan all 11 seasons of Night Court, but I know there were several years in there where I was a huge Night Court addict. So we've talked about maybe doing that. I am fascinated right now and addicted to the HBO Max series Severance, or Apple TV Severance with Adam Scott. And I've listened to a couple of podcasts out there about Severance and felt like they're not doing it justice. It's really an amazingly deep and incredibly structured kind of story that needs to be pulled apart and kind of looked at. And there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of information in there in each of those scenes. And I'm kind of interested in that. Donna has no interest in it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So that would be me on my own if I do something on Severance. But that's one that I've really got an interest in. And it's a hot property right now. I mean, with all the Emmys, it's, you know, gotten a lot of press lately. So it might be something we might get into, but it would just be me.
I would love to hear you remain in the podcast world.
We've gotten some really nice emails from people saying, I don't know what I'm going to do on Tuesdays without you guys, which that's kind of nice. I mean, it's been cool. And, you know, Jeff, guys like you that we've met that have been staunchly with us from early on and have listened, you know, for the last 2 years now, that's been a lot of fun to kind of keep up. It's like making a bunch of new friends, and we're all WKRP fans, and, you know, so we got something in common.
Can you tell me, what is, out of the people that you've talked to, is there one episode that is overwhelmingly the favorite? That's not the turkey drop. Wow. That's not the turkey drop.
Nah. And you see that for me, the turkey drop is maybe top 10.
Okay.
For me, and I know that's sacrilege to a lot of WKRP fans, but if you really talk to real hardcore WKRP fans, they're not fans of the turkey drop either. Turkey drop is for people that are kind of cursory fans. They just kind of know a little bit about WKRP, and that's an easy joke to remember. About turkeys can't fly. That's why that one is so popular, is because it's like, you know, the jokes you always tell are the jokes that are easiest to remember, not the jokes that are best. A really, really good joke that's really complicated to tell never gets told because you can't remember it. Well, turkey drop is a nice, simple, easy joke. And that's why it's so popular, because everybody remembers the punchline. But for me, I think really my favorite episode of the show is Real Families. And that's the one where they follow Herb's family around with a documentary camera. It looks like The Office. It looks like The Office done 40 years ago. And it's amazing. It's funny. It's creepy. And there are these really uncomfortable silences in it that are hilarious. So that one, as an episode of the series, for me, probably my absolute favorite.
It is funny that I had no idea who Chi-Chi Rodriguez was when I was a child, but I knew who Chai-Chai Rodriguez was.
Chai-Chai Rodriguez, yep. And you know what's just amazing about that? That line, that iconic Les line, one of the funniest damn lines in the whole series, was the first newscast he ever did in Les on a Ledge. It's the sports after he did the newscast, and then that's the sports. It's the very first thing he ever did. It just is, you know, it's like, how do you start there and do anything better? It's one of the funniest things ever on TV. That, and there's another line that reminds me of that one for the simplicity, but how it just hits you over the head. Michael Scott on The Office, when he says, I'm not superstitious, I'm a little stitious. Yeah. It's got that same structure to it. It's like Chai-Chai Rodriguez. It's Chi-Chi Rodriguez.
That joke, in our family, that joke lasted years and years and years, because there was a Mexican restaurant named Chi-Chi's.
And yes.
And there was one in the our local mall, so we would always say, "Hey, we're going to Chai-Chai's."
You go to Chi-Chi's, and then it's your birthday. They put the sombrero on you, and they make you do the finger guns.
Do you know why Chi-Chi's failed in Mexico? Because what? Chi-Chi's in Mexico is for tits. It's a colloquialism for tits. It's Chi-Chi's.
It's so, a version of Hooters.
Yeah, pretty much. Only more, not as sanitized as Hooters. It's a little dirtier, I guess, down there. So when they came down going, come on to Chi-Chi's for this weekend, they're like, oh, no, senor, we're not doing that.
All right, well, everyone's going to be looking forward to the series finale coming on September 20th.
September 20th will be the last, and it's the Impossible Dream is the last one. But then we've just today got some huge news that I don't want to give you details about because I don't want to jinx it. But it is quite possible that we are going to have the biggest interview we've ever had for the week after on September 27th. So be watching for that. I've learned don't announce interviews until you've actually done the interview.
Right.
Because that's just how to guarantee the interview is not going to happen. So, but we had really good news today about a possible huge interview. So be watching for that. That will come then on the 27th, the week after.
Okay, great.
I do have WKRP trivia, which I'm sure you would absolutely crush if you want to play.
Oh, hit me.
We love that Atlanta Pizza and Euro is a longtime sponsor of Radio Labyrinth Podcast. Thank you to Mike Hall and everyone at the restaurant. Stop by the restaurant and grab an ice-cold local craft beer like Wicked Weed's Pernicious IPA and Dry County's Neon Neon, Blackberry and Raspberry Berliner Weiss on tap. If you're a business or a corporate client who is looking for a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro by calling 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza and Euro loves serving their local community of Conyers, Covington, and the East Metro Atlanta area, and would like to thank all of them for their continued support and business throughout the years. Open for dine-in and takeout, hours Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, 12 to 9, closed on Sunday. Again, that's 770-483-6228. And we can't forget our friend Brett Perkins and LDI Repro Printing of Athens. Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Cincinnati WKRP.
Cincinnati.
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 Not.
solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
I'm a WKRP in Cincinnati.
I'll give you three answers, and you pick the right one. If you know it, just say your name and then say the answer.
All right, gotcha.
Like I said, I'm not even going to bother keeping score because I'm sure you're going to whip everyone's butt on this one, okay? All right, well, you know, of course, WKRP, it premiered on September 18th, 1978. What was the number one song on the top 40 charts that day? Was it Stayin' Alive, Boogie Oogie Oogie, or Do You Think I'm Sexy?
Dustin.
Alan.
Do you think I'm sexy?
No. Alex.
I'm pretty sure it was Boogie Oogie Oogie because Venus then played that 3 weeks later.
You are correct, sir. Okay, what was the top movie at the box office that week? Was it Grease, Animal House, or Hooper?
Alan. Hooper.
Nope.
Oh.
Grease.
No.
Wow.
Animal House
in 78?
Yeah.
In my head, Animal House was 77.
Wow. Yeah. See, look, I really tried to not do too much because I know
these
you
are,
know everything.
No, these are good. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Okay. Although he wasn't the first choice, the amazing, sometimes TV molester Gordon Jump played Mr. Carlson. Who was the first choice? Was it Roddy McDowell, Robert Mandan, or Don Knotts?
Roddy McDowell.
Yeah, it was Roddy McDowell, yes.
Yeah, it was Roddy McDowell. We did a whole bio on Roddy because I think Roddy is the big guy would have been weird.
Yeah.
That would have been very strange. Yeah. Okay, so what Kenny Rogers song charted four slots higher within 2 weeks of being played during the episode named Family Affair? Was it She Believes in Me, Coward of the County, or The Gambler?
Alan. Coward of the County. They played it in the bar scene.
Of course. Okay. Frank Bonner, who played the sometimes lovable sleazebag Herb Tarlick, also directed several episodes of WKRP and went on to direct many other popular shows in the 80s. Which one of the following shows was not one of them? Was it Three's Company, Who's the Boss, or Family Ties?
Jeff, I'm going to say Family Ties.
Yeah.
I think it was Three's Company.
You are correct. It was Three's Company. That was not one of the shows he directed.
Yeah, I couldn't see him directing Tony Danza.
Yeah, he directed Who's the Boss. I mean, he directed tons of shows in the 80s.
Well,
but...
and Who's the Boss had big ties to Asad Kolada did a lot of directing for them. And there were ties to WKRP guys on Who's the Boss, and Facts of Life also had big WKRP ties. So I could see him taking Frank with him.
Okay, well, Jan Smithers played smart hot chick Bailey Quarters. What other popular TV show in the 80s did she make an appearance on? Was it The Fall Guy, Simon and Simon, or The A-Team?
Dustin, The A-Team?
Yes.
No. I'll say Jeff, Simon and Simon.
No.
Really?
Wow.
The Fall Guy.
It was The Fall Guy. It was The Fall Guy. Who was the star of the film where Lonnie Anderson made her acting debut? Was it Robert Evans, Steve McQueen, or Clint Eastwood?
Dustin, Robert Evans.
No.
Jeff, Clint Eastwood.
No.
So what was her acting debut?
The movie was called, this was a bonus question if you got it, because it was Steve McQueen. And the bonus question would have been, what was the movie? And it was Nevada Smith. On what nighttime comedy show did Tim Reed find his first big break? Was it The Flip Wilson Show, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, or The Richard Pryor Show?
Alan.
Yes.
Richard Pryor.
That's right.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Tim Reed idolized Richard Pryor. Loved Richard Pryor.
WKRP played tons of popular music on the show. And you're probably going to get this because we were talking about this at the beginning. But which one of the following tracks was never spun by any of the DJs? Was it Hold the Line by Toto, Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones, or Hot Blooded by Foreigner? Which one was not ever played?
Jeff, I'm going to say the Toto.
Nope.
No, it was. Johnny played it in The Baby. It was the one that was skipping.
Oh, yeah, you're
when
right.
He turned the monitors down, he went out to the baby. That was Hold the Line, Hold the Line, Hold the Line.
The Stones? Shake, Start Me Up?
That is correct,
they played,
yes.
They played Start Me Up?
They played... No, they did not play Start Me Up. They played three or four different Rolling Stones songs. But from that, they played Shattered. And there was like two other ones, but Start Me Up was not played on the show.
Oh, that's right. Because it was the number one. It was actually the biggest hit for the Stones in the 80s. So they couldn't get it. But they had that stupid Tattoo You poster everywhere for eight or nine episodes.
Yeah.
The Tattoo You poster is all over the place.
But wasn't some of that stuff sent to them by DJs? Most of the stuff on the walls?
Well, all the posters and all the stand-ups came from the music companies. All the production companies sent those. And it was because they realized, wow, they're really promoting music over there. They're actually playing real songs. The thing that the DJs sent in, and we were surprised to find this, the bumper sticker wall is the DJ contribution from all over the country. And that wall in Andy's office where he put those up, that was not in place until the fourth season. I was really shocked that they did not do that earlier in the series because it's so iconic.
Well, we're down to the last question, and this kind of goes along with what you were talking about, how this wasn't really the final date that the episode premiered on. But going by TV Guide, if you went by the TV Guide, from Wednesday, April 21st, 1982, if it did air that night, what other comedy was competing in the same time slot on another network? Was it Mork and Mindy, The Facts of Life, or Barney Miller?
Alan?
Yes.
Facts of Life. We just did this one last episode.
That's right.
And that's correct. Their debut in that time slot had just happened like a month earlier. The first time they were on in that time slot, they actually competed against an episode directed by Asad Kolata, who Asad Kolata is the number three most prolific director on WKRP. So KRP was competing against Asad, which really felt incestuous.
Well, that was it. And obviously Alan won. So.
Thanks, Steph.
Those were really great questions. I feel like I've been inundated with WKRP for the last 2 years. It's like I'm rooming with these people. So I know a lot about what's going on.
All right. Well, we're all looking forward to you guys wrapping up and also seeing who your fingers crossed your excellent interview is going to be. but thanks for coming on and checking back in with us. I know we're going to probably be checking with you again, especially if you narrow down what you guys are going to be doing next. But for me, I sympathize with you. Take your time, rest. Because I know that this is a marathon, doing these podcasts every week, and sometimes you need to recharge your batteries and get that longing to do it again and do it, you know, and make it fun.
I'm glad that you're going to leave it out there for people to discover later on down the line. Like maybe it'll
keep referencing it.
Service. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep telling people.
Hell yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thanks, Alan, and thanks for joining us. And
to Donna.
Yes.
Oh, I definitely. Thanks so much for letting me come on and WKRP cast wherever you get your podcast.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, man. All right.
Bye, Alan.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Yeah, just a who died and Hayes, sadly.
Yes, R.I.P. Anne Heche. Crazy story. It's kind of developed from when it happened to I guess now when we're recording on Wednesday, that she ran her car into a home at 90 miles an hour and were, you know, succumbed to burns and injuries. Horrible.
And there's all kinds of weird stuff going on too. Like they're showing footage of her being loaded into the ambulance, and they say that she was brain dead or whatever, and that they had, you know, they took her off the life support, but she was sitting up when they were putting her in the ambulance.
But they said that was probably just out of shock.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they also said she had
the whole thing's weird.
Yeah, they said she had. Of course, she was. They said that her alcohol content was high. Of course. The pictures they show of her like an hour or two before, she had like a vodka bottle in her cup holder of her car. So I mean,
she smashed into that warehouse.
Yeah, and
she smashed in that warehouse, and they tried to drag her out of the car, and she took off.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they said she had cocaine and fentanyl in her system, and then they, redid that because they think that maybe the EMTs gave her fentanyl at the scene, and then when they drug tested her at the hospital, they couldn't differentiate where it came from. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have a conspiracy theory about anything nowadays. Yeah. So
I mean, it could be the aliens. They did come back for her finally. I mean, we all knew that was a real possibility.
That it could happen. Yeah.
So I don't know. She is sad. She obviously had a very sad life. Yeah. It's really, really lucky that she did not kill anybody.
Yes.
Because she really could have killed several people. So.
Yeah.
But I also don't think she was like in her right mind at all.
No.
And yeah, for sure.
It just sucks because, you know, you separate the art from the artist. She was a hell of an actress.
Yeah.
Hell of an actress. I loved her. She had that role in Cedar Falls with Ed Helms. Yeah, she was really good in that. Anything she was in, she was never ever not good.
Yeah, they tried to fire her from 6 days, 7 nights, and Harrison Ford was like, "No, she's the one." And because he stood up for her, that's why they let her be in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I know she wasn't married, but she was dating Ellen for a number of years, and then she
said a bunch of crazy crap about Ellen.
Yeah.
Well, how crazy was it? Fast forward 10
maybe
years
it was
later.
Right.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, I liked her in the remake of Psycho. I thought she did a good job with that.
She did.
I mean, it was, you know, that was a movie
totally
that was kind of
unnecessary remake.
Yes, it was a total unnecessary remake. I think it was an ego push for Gus Van Sant.
But, Vince Vaughn, it's like he tried to do that kind, like, you know, with that one and Clay Pigeons. And mm-hmm. I mean, there was a few where he tried to play that kind of a weirdo, wacko. Yeah. He just is not that. He's not that.
He doesn't come off. I don't know. It's weird. It took him till late in his career to be able to pull off creepy. And that was the prison one that he did, the one where he's in the prison.
I didn't even think that was creepy. I didn't even feel like that was creepy.
But his personality, I mean, him being like the lovable, you know, character that you always see, it's like you didn't see that flip in Psycho, which you should have. I mean, that's obvious with the character, but he didn't play it that way. He played it too soft. I don't know.
I kept waiting for him at any minute, like when he was stabbing her, going, "Look at the babies. Look at the beautiful babies."
Yeah, well, they're all skanks.
What are you talking about? Look at all the beautiful babies here.
The beautiful babies don't work midnights to 6 on a Wednesday. This is the skank shift.
Look at all the beautiful...
Portal Pinball in Ackworth, Georgia. Yeah, that's... we're looking to have a meetup. You know, we haven't had one in a while. And Ira, F and Ira, contacted us and was like, "Hey, you know, we've got some birthdays around that time. Let's kind of celebrate all of them together and kind of get everybody together, you know, change it up a little bit, maybe hit the other side of Atlanta as opposed to keep riding Conyers pretty hard as far as live events." So We're gonna try to get out there on the 24th of September. We'll get back with a time when we get a little closer to the event.
It'll probably be evening though, because it's a Saturday.
Pencil that in on your schedule and see if you can make it out. We'd love to see everybody. And
I'm a pinball junkie.
Yeah,
I love pinball.
Man, I haven't played in years, but I used to be pretty good.
I always liked pinball, but I was the one who would always let everybody else play pinball, and I would go play, you know, Donkey Kong.
Or... They have classic 80s arcade games. I think I saw that on their website.
That's cool.
It's not just pinball machines.
I'm excited to check it out, though. And I know we have some listeners that live in Ackworth, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
Views.
Or.
You can snooze.
Use the snooze. Last week, Lock and Key, which I haven't got to yet. Resident Alien and Alone Frozen, which I watched both of those.
How was Alone?
It's good. It's a shorter time, and they only have to make it 50 days in this cold environment.
So they've capped the date, the amount of days?
Yeah, so if you make it 50 days, you split the prize money, which it's like $1 million or half a million or something.
Hmm.
And they got six people, so I'm sure, because after the first episode, somebody dropped out, so I imagine somebody's going to drop out every episode until it gets down to one or two.
Yeah, with it being wintertime, immediately, I mean, you're going to weed those certain people out very quick, I would imagine. And these are all people that have been on before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they've all been previous contestants.
Okay.
I did watch all of Sandman. Did you guys watch that? That wasn't in my...
I'm not done with it yet, but I've watched like four episodes. It's awesome. I mean, it's really good.
It's very good.
No, I binge watched Never Have I Ever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I saw it's number one on Netflix right now, and that was crazy that it blew past all those others.
There's parts that show, I mean, it's so Mindy Kaling, some of the jokes and stuff like that. I mean, it's a chick show. You guys would not like it. That's all I can say.
I like Sex Lives of College Girls.
Yeah, it's not like that.
No?
No, it's a lot sweeter. It's nice. Mm. It's like nice things. Okay. Yeah, you don't like nice things. Not like that.
I like horrible things draped in very good cinematography. That's what I like.
Right. But it's a sweet show. It's very sweet.
This week, She-Hulk starts on Disney Plus. I think is it Friday?
Thursday. So it would have already started a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna views it only because I actually liked the She-Hulk comic when it came out. It was different because it was to me, it was kind of like a precursor to Deadpool in that they broke the fourth wall a lot and she talked to you and kind of filled you in directly as a watcher or a reader at the time. And so it was kind of neat. And I'm kind of curious how they're going to relay that into a visual medium.
They're making sure to show the Hulk quite a bit in the
I'm wondering though stuff. If you time those how many seconds he's in the trailer versus how many seconds he's going to be in the show, it's probably going to be pretty close. I don't see him using him for a while, but
I'll try it like I do any of these shows. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, did you watch all of Ms. Marvel?
I did not.
Yeah, I noped out after like a couple.
Yeah, I did. It lost me. One.
So it's a views for me. Sprung. This is the latest series from Greg Garcia, the guy that did My Name Is Earl. And this has Garrett Dillahunt and Martha Plimpton playing. It sounds a little bit like The Outlaws, where they're playing convicts who try and band together to use their criminal expertise to do good rather than crime.
Hmm. Yeah, the previews look pretty funny. I like Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, and Garrett Dillahunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good in everything.
Yeah, of course.
And Greg Garcia, I loved My Name Is Earl.
Yeah. Yeah, they were definitely, hopefully this one has a better outcome.
Yeah.
you know, as far as being able to start a show, run a show, and complete a show, as opposed to, you know, having it kind of lopped off.
And it's Freevee. It's part of Amazon, so it's
that's like, what I was going to ask. What is Freevee?
It used to be called IMDb TV.
Oh, okay. They just changed the name.
Like a page on Amazon.
Yeah.
But now it's called Freevee, and they have commercials, but it's still free and part of Amazon if you have Prime.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. The views for me.
I'll give you Sprung. Views.
And then House of Dragons starts this week. Anybody going to be into it?
HBO? Oh, I'm going to try it. I'm definitely going to give it a view.
Yeah, I'll give it a view. I loved everything up until, like everybody else, everything up until the end of Game of Thrones. So hopefully this is, hopefully it's going to work.
There's no source material on this, right? This is totally created.
Yeah, outside of.
Without any George R.R. Martin influence, right? I mean, it's his characters.
His characters, yeah. But, I mean, I don't think there's anything that you could go and read this story from. No. I think it's kind of like, it's very similar to how they're doing the Ring series on Amazon.
That's coming up in September, so that'll probably be on Viewers News later on. But
with this House of Dragon, the only thing I saw about it this week that came out is they were talking about how there was too much graphic sex in the show. And this is coming from the actors. Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
I definitely want to see what they're going to do with it. I mean, it may be garbage, but I'll try it.
And it's got the Doctor Who guy in it.
Yeah, Matt Smith. I liked on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Allen mentioned the other day in the Radio Shack about that show, This Fool, on Hulu.
Yeah.
And we've been watching that. That show is funny as crap. It is so funny. Freaking funny, laugh out loud funny.
What is it about?
Is this guy, oh god, the jokes that they make about him, how they say he has Edward James Olmos face. He's a square, you know, and he lives in a rough area, East LA, and he is a part of this organization called Hugs Not Drugs or whatever, and so they they make cupcakes, and they sell these cupcakes, and they help guys that are either just gotten out of prison, or they try to help them find a different path than going to prison. And so this one guy, he's a square, everybody makes fun of him, he's always getting treated like garbage. Well, his cousin just gets out of prison, and in order for him to stay at his mom's house, which is this guy's aunt, he has to be in this program. And so it's him and his cousin, and him always breaking on his cousin, and he's still trying to be this bad boy gangster. And he starts realizing he's old, and everybody he used to gangster with, they're all dead.
a little like the OG Tracy Morgan, OG.
Kind of like that, but it's funnier. Remember the guys? Who are those guys, Jeff, on that roast, on the roast battle, when those ones that would sit in the front row?
Yeah, they, I forget what their names are.
There was the white guy and the black guy. The black guy, he's one of the main characters on here. Okay. Oh my god, he's insane. He's insane. So the first episode is good, and you're like, oh, this is pretty funny. Then the second episode, crying. I was laughing so hard. So Tim Allen was right. Definitely try This Fool.
And that's on
it's
Hulu?
Pretty good. It's on Hulu, yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
All right. I guess that about wraps it up.
Tim will be back next week from...
Yeah, and he'll regale us with all of his regatta championship updates, and hopefully he hadn't gotten in trouble for cutting that engine out of that Ferrari and putting it in that boat. But we'll see if Demi Moore can actually play the guitar, or if it was just a prop.
He's sitting there with a transistor radio calling in to himself.
That's what he's doing on vacation. He's just that sweaty guy with a cigarette in the room telling the kids, quiet, close the door.
What are you doing in here? Why won't they leave me alone with my dream?
If you're watching the video right now on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. If you got any friends, tell them to like and subscribe. If you don't have any friends, get out there and make some friends, and then make sure you tell
them. Join the Radio Shack. We'll be your friends.
And rate and review us on iTunes, for the love of Christ.
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere that you're listening, whatever catcher that you used and to get you through your day. Just when you get done with one of our episodes, just go in and give us a 5-star or give us a rating. You know, if you want to join Patreon, be one of our Patreon members or producers. That is patreon.com/TimAndrews. Instagram, you can get on there. It'll let you know when we have something new out. And also Twitter as well. All those, Radio Labyrinth, just search those and you'll find them. Also, you'll find all the links in the description below.
Thanks,
Alan from WKRP Cast. Remember to check him out next month, or you've got a little over a month to catch up on the WKRP Cast. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Steph. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
But until next week, remember to keep it
Keep it.